Betting on sports can be hard, but hiring Morgan & Morgan is easy. Morgan & Morgan is America's largest injury law firm. They have over 100 offices nationwide and more than 1,000 lawyers. Their fee is free unless they win. For more information, go to forthepeople.com/bestbets or dial pound law, pound 529 from your cell phone. That's forthepeople.com/bestbets. This is a paid advertisement.
The numbers told the story, they always do.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
This is a numbers game with Gil Alexander on VSiN.
Welcome in, everybody. Good Monday morning to you, as it is a numbers game with our guy Kelly Bidlin, as always, holding down the fort in downtown Las Vegas at our Circuit Sportsbook Studios. I'm Ben Wilson in for Gil, who's out this week. But Kelly, it is great to be back with you, sir. And we have just a couple of things to talk about. I heard it was quite the interesting weekend.
Yeah, man.
Sports world, wasn't it?
Absolutely. It's great to be back with you. I was trying to remember driving in today when the last time you and I have done a show together. It's been like a whole 5 or 6 months now. It's crazy. It's like the longest it's been.
I know. Last time I saw you, you were deep into the punch bowl at a Halloween party. That's basically where we were
that's
at.
Right.
I'm sure there were a lot of people that felt punch drunk yesterday, though. I mean, I don't know how your day went, at least for me. Got some good fortune with a couple favorites who were in danger and pulled it out, at least Minnesota and Miami. Minnesota, it wasn't all that close in the end. Miami, it certainly was, as we'll get to all the games that happened in week 14. You want to start, though, with a little Circus Survivor talk today, Kelly?
Yeah,
because
let's do it.
Kind of felt like, and this again, we will normally on Mondays, we have the guessing line show with Gil. We will do sort of our mini version of that. We will talk about all the games that did happen and thoughts as it leads into look headlines here for week 15. But we also need to get to the college football playoff, because that was kind of a big deal that happened yesterday with bracket reveal, opening lines, futures now out. And we will be joined by Stormy Bonantoni, our fellow host, ESPN reporter, coming up this hour. And Chris Felica, known as the Bear, from Fox Big Noon Kickoff, in our second hour of the show. So we'll have plenty of college football talk to get to. Just the quick update, though, as far as Circus Survivor goes, 50 different individuals across 52 entries coming into yesterday. So much potential carnage, Kelly. You think about it. Philadelphia could have potentially gone down. And yet, at the end of the day, despite all these favorites who were at one point in some trouble, it was only one single entry on the Tennessee Titans who go down. And you can't help but feel for the individual who had his or her survivor journey come to an end this late against the awful Jacksonville Jaguars. But now we're down to 49 entries across, or 49 individuals across the 51 entries here, Kelly. Titans the only one that went out. And there was a point yesterday where you're like, Eagles, Dolphins, Saints, even the Bucks were not out of the water. 4-point game in the fourth quarter.
Mm-hmm.
Steelers were in a tight game early, and at the end of the day, only one goes out, and your intrinsic value nearing $275,000.
Yeah, not too many of those yesterday. Just easy skate to victory wins for those teams, like you said. I mean, if you were on the Eagles, you were sweating big time late into that game. And the Titans. Salute to whoever had the Titans. It ended up being one of my Circa Million selections too, Ben. But that was the grossest game on the board. You knew it ahead of time. It looked like it was going to be the grossest game all day. It pretty much was. And you lost. Sorry. That was you get this far in Survivor, sometimes you got to get involved in these games that you had no interest in getting involved in just a couple months back.
You know what I thought was fascinating more than anything? We will never criticize, especially at this stage of the year, right? You've done better than 99.5% of the entrants, so you can do whatever you want. But I thought it was interesting, of the two entries that had two left, we had two of those people. One of them split it up. One went one Pittsburgh, one Tampa. Both of those get through. The other went both entries on Miami, and you went from, there was a stretch, Kelly. I had Miami a money line parlay, laid the 5.5, had him in the contest. I thought all my bets were dead late third quarter. And that was a interesting strategy simply because you were in such a plus EV position. You obviously had, and that entry felt like I did, and I'm sure a lot of bettors did, like that was there was a lot of conviction behind Miami, at least winning the game outright. But man, you could have gone from one of the two people with just an awesome path and an awesome position to be in with 5 weeks left to all of a sudden completely out of the competition, and yet you're sucked back in from the depths of potentially being out. Miami somehow comes back to win. That to me was a huge swing as part of Survivor, since those two with two entries are still alive now.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Like you said, that was big. And yeah, Dolphins, I was right there with you, man. Moneyline parlays contest. I laid 6.5 early in the week, so that was a loser. But yeah, I don't know if we had really any business being into to the end like we were. Tip of the cap to Rodgers and the Jets. I was not expecting that type of effort from that team. I really thought we were going to see a Jets team kind of lay down and accept that their playoff fate was over with. And they put up a fight yesterday. Aaron Rodgers, best game of the year, 27 for 39, 339 yards and a touchdown. He looked pretty impressive. I was impressed. Jets just didn't go away easy in that one.
I mean, look, what a day for the New York teams, Kelly. The Jets and Giants, both with workmanlike covers for their respective bettors, and the Mets. So apparently win the Juan Soto sweepstakes. So, I mean, what a day for New York. Mets, by the way, now 8-1, third in the odds board, ahead of the Yankees at 9-1. So anyway, for the New York teams, it wasn't completely all disaster and everything like that. But we'll get to more of the NFL here in a little bit. All of our thoughts as we now have the week 15 lines that are out. We'll get to that here in a little bit, Kelly. But should, before we do anything else, just spend a few minutes here to open the show talking college football playoff now that the bracket is out. The big talk, at least in the betting space, as the week wore on last week, was a lot of these potential ARB opportunities. Could you play in nose on both SMU and Alabama, since they were priced at big plus money? SMU around plus 280, Bama 3-1. Could you do something with that? And hey, you know, at the end of the day, this ended up being a situation where the loss for SMU that most people thought would knock them out, because in large part because of how close it was, they end up getting in over Alabama as a result. So if you were brave enough and you went out on a limb and kind of went against what the committee was saying, kind of a la like a political sort of campaign, Kelly, where you just did not take what the committee was saying at face value, you got there with Alabama tickets. But I know there were a lot of folks out there who had SMU to miss, and it was the worst possible result that would happen for them, which was close loss. They end up getting in over Alabama. Tide get knocked out.
Yeah, I knew a couple people. Gil had one too. I know, just a longer shot taken on Alabama. Just a lot of us, and I'll include myself, believing that there was no way they were going to be kept out. But I mean, I guess that's a good thing, Ben, with the way they had set up what the rankings were a week ago, right? At least you kind of followed suit with how that played out with how you had set up things last week. I don't know. This does, you know, as a jaded Florida State grad, Ben, it does feel like this was some of the stuff at the back end of these rankings were a bit of a makeup from what happened last year. And let's make sure we get some teams in. We don't care if we leave out some of the bigger name programs from the SEC. That's kind of what it felt like to me. But hey, we've got 12 teams. It's going to be exciting to get this going just here in a couple weeks.
Yeah, my biggest takeaway, especially from on the betting angle, and I think a lot of what folks are looking into over these last few weeks, were the futures and thinking about, okay, the way things were clearly lining up, the 5 seed was the seed to be in. And the two teams that everybody kind of thought would end up in the 5, either Penn State or Notre Dame, depending on the results, well, neither of those happened. And so you had, there was a lot of folks looking, say, you know, Notre Dame futures, who I, you know, just looking at my odds, how this fluctuated. Notre Dame was as short as 8-1 before last week. They don't even play. They do not get the 5 seed as you're watching the bracket. It's Notre Dame hosting Indiana. They slip now to 11-1. And then you get a team like Texas who loses in the SEC title game. By the way, if this game was it last year and it was a 4-team playoff, probably a win and in game for the Texas Georgia. And you'd have Texas not in the 4-team playoff. And yet, here they are, the co-short shot to win it all, despite being 4-1 last week. Now they're down to plus 350. So my thing is, if you're going to be betting these futures, we already saw how ridiculously convoluted and back and forth the seeding went by the committee. I don't know, you know, if it's not as obvious, and if it's a situation like this next year, where you have not one de facto obvious team to back and a path that is very, very murky, even if you are, say, a 1 seed like Oregon, I don't know why you'd be getting involved in the futures market as a result of that, even if you could potentially pick off some good numbers, because the bracket dictates so much of this from a game-to-game betting perspective.
Yeah, I think that makes a lot of sense. You're right. I mean, you're just looking. I mean, you don't have to know much about these teams to know that there's an easier path going to an Arizona State than going to a Georgia, right? That's going to be true pretty much in every single year that we talk about the college football playoffs. So it's a good point. I think, look, as we do new things in sports, whether it's the NBA Cup a year ago, whether it's this, you're going to learn some betting strategies throughout, as it might take a year or two, and it's always good to be ahead of those things. things if you can, but some of these things play out, like you said, and you kind of live and you learn. Any of these first round matchups stand out to you and some of the numbers that we're seeing on them? You got Indiana at Notre Dame. Notre Dame laying 7.5 and 50. These all from DraftKings here this morning. SMU at Penn State. Penn State laying 9.53.5 the total on that game. Tennessee at Ohio State. Ohio State laying 7.5, 47 the total. Clemson at Texas. Texas 11-point favorite, 51.5 the total on that game.
Yeah, the two that stood out to me, Clemson, Texas, that total open 53. I still see behind you, Kelly, 52 at Circa. That is one that under. A situation where neither offense has been particularly explosive, and we have seen just how dominant this Texas defense has been. I know everyone will be looking at all the failures and opportunities missed by Texas to put the game away against Georgia when they had the opportunity to do so, but this is still the number one defense in yard per play allowed, one of the best sack rates in the country, even though they don't blitz all that often, still a top six sack team, do so much well on the defensive end. I wonder if that kind of gets ignored because of the struggles of a Steve Sarkisian coach team in big games in the lead up to this. And I don't have much faith in Clemson being able to move the ball consistently. I do feel like the only way Clemson really hangs in there is with a defense that was conducive to giving up some explosive plays. And we saw that in the SMU game Saturday night. But from a play-to-play perspective, was still pretty solidly top 20 in the country. 52, that's a big number. I went first half under angle in the Georgia-Texas game, Kelly. I would not be opposed to doing that either. So that was the big one for me, and I don't think anybody would be shocked, would they, if Tennessee went into Columbus and won the game outright? I just worry that might be of these four that would probably be your candidate for like square dog that just a lot of people talk themselves into because of what we saw last with Ohio State. That's the only thing worrying me on that one. Right?
Well, Kelly and the Square Bears will agree with that because that was the first one that jumped out to me, Ben. I was like, 7.5? That feels pretty hefty with Ohio State. So, I might be looking at that side, too. No bets for me early. Did you bet that under
Clemson, Texas? I'm waiting here, but I with the 52s out there today, that will be a bet for me, yes. Clemson, Texas, under 52. Well, go ahead and lock.
Blake.
Boom. Let's do it. All right, we are underway here on a numbers game. Again, more to come on the college football playoff a little bit later with Stormy Bonantoni and Chris Felica. When we return, we'll start our dive into the Week 15 lines and look back at all the carnage that happened last week here on A Numbers Game.
A Numbers Game on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
If you're looking to bet smarter, VSiN has the perfect holiday gift for you. You just have to sign up on our holiday special today. You get VSiN Pro access to everything we do from now through May 1st for only $79. That includes daily best bets, betting splits, DraftKings, and Circa, as well as 24/7 video access, all of our betting guides and best bets throughout college football playoff, NFL, college basketball, NBA, NHL, all that kind of stuff. Don't miss out on this limited-time holiday offer. Visit VSiN.com/subscribe. Ben Wilson back with Kelly Bidlin. Ben here in for Gil Alexander for the next couple of days. Kelly, we've got Monday Night Football tonight. The big question everybody wants to know, not will you be betting on the game, will you be watching the Simpsons version? So that I still am trying to figure out what the point is, but I mean, I'm clearly not the audience, so I want to know, are you watching that?
So what if we've done this a couple times already, right? Didn't we do like a Toy Story one or something as well? Like, I'll probably flip SpongeBob over to it for a couple minutes, but you know, no, I'll be watching the main broadcast overall. Okay. What was the cool ones? The Nickelodeon ones. They got to do more of those.
The slime.
Yeah. Cause then it's like an actual game slime broadcast with just like slime worst in. I'm all for that.
There will be a Madden alt one apparently coming up through NBC. So the rise of the alt cast, it's apparently a thing. What is also apparently a thing tonight is people are betting the Dallas Cowboys like they know the final score, which is an interesting strategy to say the least. This is down to, this just popped 5 at Circa. And actually, as we are on the air right now, one prominent offshore just went to 5. Wave of 5s popping up in the market. Cincinnati at one point as high as 6.5 in this game. Consensus 5.5 right now and 49.5 the total. With Circa just popped up to 50 as well. If you made me bet it, I would take Dallas. Just more on the principle of laying points on the road with a team who cannot stop anybody on the defensive side of the football. Kelly, usually not a strategy I like to employ.
Yeah,
it's just, do you feel confident enough that this Dallas resurgence, which has come against bad teams recently, most notably the Giants on Thanksgiving, and just a slop fest of a game, can that continue against a team who's technically not out of it. I would argue they are, but Cincinnati, it depends really on what network you watch, right? Some of the networks still have Cincinnati in their in the hunt graphic, like Fox. Others, like CBS, do not. Interesting, at least the editorial decision-making on that part of it. But I would lean Dallas, but not one I really had interest in playing here. So it's a stay away for me tonight.
Yeah, I think you summed it all up pretty well. This is a, I think if you knew what you were getting out of the Bengals, right, this could be an easier handicap. But I think this is pretty similar to what I looked at with the Jets going down to Miami, where you've got a team that I think we've at least seen it from Dallas. I mean, listening to Micah Parsons after that game last week, like, man, they're playing hard. Like, this team seems to be rallying together, maybe rallying around a coach who's on his way out that the team seems to like, I guess. So you kind of know that Dallas is still fighting for things, but where's Cincinnati's heads at? And I think that's been the big question for the past couple weeks of, okay, Joe Burrow, I mean, at some point, this has got to get exhausting for the offensive stars like Burrow and Chase, right? You're putting up big numbers. Week after week, the defense is giving you absolutely nothing. And now you're sitting in a spot 4-8. You're technically still alive, but like you said, Ben, I'm not writing them in any playoff pictures here anytime soon. And I think they are likely out of it. So you got to question what the effort level is going to be out of Cincinnati tonight. I think if you knew you were going to get full go Cincinnati Bengals, then you'd maybe be looking at probably at an over in this game is probably where I'd be looking. Otherwise, the only way I could look total or side, like you said, Ben, would be the Cowboys. I understand why they're getting money. It wouldn't be a lot of money. But for me, it would only be a few bucks. Can't imagine anybody out there going to bet $3 million on this one tonight. But like you said, with how bad this Cincinnati defense has been, going into Dallas with a team that's still showing some life, catching near, I mean, like you said, it was 6.5, five and a half, still plenty available, readily available out there. Cowboys side's the only place I could look to in this game. Not a bet for me. Doesn't sound like it's a bet for you. But you know what? Hopefully between the Simpsons and just offenses, we get some fireworks, and it's exciting tonight.
There will be some entertainment, yes. Hey, were this 6, if that was the contest number, it would have been, or 6.5. I power rating-wise, I made the game 4.5. I would have been in consideration for me. Ended up not getting there with Cincinnati and Dallas there, the Monday night game tonight. The Circa Millions update from this past week, just 2-3 on the consensus top 5. And as we start our look back and now look ahead into week 15, Kelly, with the recaps of what happened yesterday, the 2 of the 3 games that the bettors were wrong in, and I was kind of surprised at least that Buffalo was in the Circa Millions consensus, just simply because it was known as the week went on that the Rams were kind of like the wise guy sharp side. And usually when that happens, we've seen this now with the proliferation of the contest where there's a lot of groupthink that happens. Yeah. Not to like criticize anybody in these contests, but it just seems like when a respected side is well known, everybody kind of just flocks to that side. So the fact that not only were the Rams not a consensus, but the fact that Buffalo on the opposite side was very interesting to me yesterday. And then the Bears were on everybody's card, mine included, at +4 throughout the week. I get all the way down to 3 at post, and the 49ers end up blowing them out. So that's our first look ahead for week 15 here. It's the Rams at the 49ers. And I thought that for the San Francisco game, I mean, it was a situation where you could not have asked for a more comprehensive pounding. When you talk about a game for San Francisco where, you know, you look at how the first half box score played out, you're talking about 324-9 on the yardage. Like this looked like a game. If you were to have watched that game and had like come out of a coma, Kelly, and you're going, oh yeah, sure. Bears, Niners, 38-13. This makes a lot of sense. What were the Niners laying, like 10.5 in this game? Oh wait, no, these teams had almost the same record and the Niners were only laying 3. You would have gone insane. I was wrong on this, but maybe it was that classic spot of getting the absolute floor of San Francisco's value because they just ran and passed wild. They did whatever they wanted against Chicago yesterday. Purdy, 20 of 25, Brock Purdy at quarterback for 325 and 2 touchdowns. Briefly got banged up in the second half, but did come back. And more than anything going forward, the fact that Talanoa Hufanga returned in that defense, Kelly, that probably went underreported more than anything. He's off IR. Last year, they were so good with Hufanga in. When he left, it was a bottom 10 defense by EPA per play the last 6 weeks of the regular season. That does change the calculus a little bit for San Francisco, who's still just barely hanging on for life in that NFC West and playoff race. So that will be an interesting factor to go into now against a Rams team that could not have looked any better The offense had 5 touchdowns and a field goal on their 7 full drives. And whenever they needed a big play, seemingly got it, most often from Puka Nacua, who goes off for 12 catches, 162 yards and a touchdown in that 44-42 win over Buffalo. So a game where I would have thought this would be less than 3. Kelly, they made the number 2.5, L.A. at San Francisco Thursday night. But it appears to be shorter than that, as a whole lot of folks excited about what they saw out of the Rams yesterday.
Yeah, and no surprise there. You're right. This is kind of an interesting game for us to start with, because this is the LA, those were the two super sharp sides of the week, right? Was the Bears and the Rams. And it's, I think it's a good example for people at home. If you don't follow this stuff as closely as me and Ben are on a weekly basis, like, hey, do the sharp guys always win? No. Sometimes they lose and lose badly. And that was the Chicago side. Meanwhile, the Rams, like you said, looked great yesterday. I know a lot of people were all over that one. In San Francisco, man, this NFC West is exciting, Ben. Like, I'm getting kind of giddy about it. It's been building for like the past couple of weeks, trying to figure out how good all 4 of these teams are. I think that's what it's been the past few weeks. Gil and I have discussed it a bunch on this show. I think they're all 4 pretty good, but you know, none of them are great and none of them are awful, and it makes a really exciting division race pretty fun heading into the end here. You're right, San Francisco completely not out of it. I think the Rams putting up on that display yesterday, impressive, well, maybe not completely shocking. I'll say the biggest thing I took away from both those games, though, Ben, is if you told me the Bills were going to lose and Josh Allen's MVP odds were going to get even shorter, I don't know if I would have believed you, but that's how impressive Josh Allen was yesterday. 3 touchdowns on the ground, 3 through the air. He was amazing in that game, even in defeat. But yeah, Rams Niners Thursday night. Once again, we get another great Thursday night football game. I haven't bet anything here yet. I think, though, after you've seen this Rams offense, and there's still those lingering questions for me, at least, over the 49ers and what this team's looks like with all the injuries that they're dealing with. It's a lean Rams, but not on the straight side. This is, you know me, this has got 6-point teaser written all over it. I haven't done anything with it yet. I want to see where this game kind of moves, because this is one of those, I don't know about you, Ben, I'm not sure where this moves over the next, over the next few hours, where we usually see a lot of movement in the NFL market with the games, or even over the next few days as we learn about the health statuses with some of the guys on the San Francisco side. But I do have a feeling this will be a LA Rams teaser side for me.
I see a couple books now down to 1.5. So 1.5, 2 for the Thursday night game. We'll talk more on the Buffalo side, because the coaching malpractice at the end from Sean McDermott in Buffalo, we do need to talk about when we get to that marquee game, Buffalo and Detroit. Yeah, it's sort of like, on the one hand, you have a Rams team. Was that just a bad situational spot? It certainly felt like it was for Buffalo. Did the Rams just take advantage of a Bills team that the defense at least completely no-showed? But on the flip side, was this a San Francisco performance completely propped up by just a dead Bears team that did not get the bounce we all thought they would from an interim head coach? Those are the two factors at play. No play for me, but it is a huge NFC West battle. Seahawks now -110, Rams +160 to win the NFC West. Cardinals dipped to 7-1. Niners not technically dead yet, 18-1, after they get a little bit of life yesterday with that 38-13 blowout win over the Bears. We'll continue our looks into the opening lines for week 15. Take a look back at all the craziness that happened yesterday. There's one game for MetLife that we'll talk about in a little bit that was awfully wild. We'll do that next here on A Numbers Game.
A Numbers Game on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Ready to elevate your tailgate game? You have to try Sewell's Barbecue. Born from a backyard cookout in a mason jar of unforgettable flavor, Sewell's has become a Southern favorite, lighting up taste buds from Georgia to the Carolinas. From ribs and wings to a backyard burger, Sewell's takes every bite to the next level. You can order online at sewellsbbqsauce.com, S-E-W-E-L-L-S, bbqsauce.com. The Monday edition of A Numbers Game. I'm Ben Wilson in for Gil Alexander. Kelly Bidlin with me, holding down the fort at our Circus Sportsbook studio downtown Las Vegas. Ben _Wilson_1 for all definitely the kind tweets. Nobody's saying where the hell is Gil on this Monday. That definitely over under like 6.5 of those coming across today, Kelly. But alas, here we are.
Ben, we're always happy to have you fill in, though. I wish you were here in studio. I was just telling you on break, though. Man, it's kind of nice to have this whole thing to myself. Like, there's so much room for activities in here now. You know what I mean? Like, there's so much to do in here. But yeah, Gil out this week. He'll be back on Monday for normal guessing lines next week.
Is Rob Moreno preventing you from stacking bunk beds on the set there?
Kelly? I'm sure like Rob Moreno would be happy to help. Yeah, I'm sure he would be happy to help. Yeah.
All right. Okay. You of all people would definitely have a Randy Jackson signed sword of some sort. That if anybody I know, I'd power rate you, Kelly, number one.
Thanks, man.
Something signed by Randy Jackson. Alas, we continue with our look aheads into the Week 15 opening lines. Next up, Kansas City and Cleveland. Oh, a couple of crazy games from yesterday, man. I assume most of you, if you're up late last night watching the Chiefs and the Chargers, if you went to bed early, because there was a stretch, Kelly, where it felt like that game was just a snooze fest. Chiefs were laying four against the Chargers. Chargers was one of the two Circa Millions consensus plays that did get there. And even though a wave of late Chief money came in, pushing that game up to 5 points, it closed. But it's 13-0 Kansas City, really in control. Justin Herbert took a shot. You're thinking, wait, this is going to be Chiefs up 13 with the Taylor Heinicke experience about to start. But Herbert comes back. I thought one of the guttier performances we've seen of a quarterback in a single game this year. And for all the flack that Herbert at times gets about what his performance has been in the past in big games. Well, he was able to really resuscitate the Chargers back from the dead here as they come back, even take the lead late 17-16. But it was not meant to be, and especially not meant to be when this Chiefs season, where it seems like every good break that has possibly been in the ether has gone their way. It continues as Matthew Wright, 31-yard chip shot, nearly shanks it, but hits the inside of the goalpost and it doinks in, Kelly, for a 19-17 win. Chiefs secure yet another AFC West title and now take on this Cleveland team that, as we'll talk about in a second here, it was just a comedy of errors yesterday in a game where I felt like they were certainly the right side for 2.5 quarters, but when you continue to miss kicks, when you continue to throw interceptions and fumble punts, eventually good teams make you pay for it. And that was the case as Pittsburgh pulls away, despite being dead even in the yard per play battle, 4.3 to 4.3. Steelers get a 27-14 win and cover yesterday against the Browns.
Yeah, start real quick with that one. Like it was maybe a little closer than the final score shows between Pittsburgh and Cleveland, but this is going to translate over to when we talk about Browns Chiefs too. But it's the Jameis Winston experience. Get ready for it. I mean, sometimes it goes well, sometimes it goes bad, and sometimes it just looks like he's carrying a mediocre football team. And that's what it looked like yesterday. This Browns defense continues to be a bit of a disappointment here, not giving him much help either on that side of the ball. And then last night, man, I don't know about you, Ben. First reaction I had for that game-winning field goal, I'm going to work my way backward. First reaction I had to that game-winning field goal was, man, I thought to myself, is that one of the worst made kicks I've ever seen? Because they showed the replay and it was like, if we're talking 1 yard further back, I mean, if we're talking 5 yards further back, that thing is sailing like 7 yards left of the upright. And I watched it, I'm like, man, this is one of the worst kicks I've ever seen that got in. Just hit the upright perfectly, bank it in. It wasn't even all that close either. When you saw the replay from the back end, like, yeah, it banked in. It was pretty obvious. It's not like it was all that close to coming out or anything like that. But there was that. I really wasn't planning on talking about Justin Herbert or saying anything mean about him today because I thought he played a great game also, Ben. But it's fine. Everybody always wants to stand up for Justin Herbert, and he lost another football game. Just throwing it out there. It's another L for Justin Herbert, as much as we want to say how awesome he is. But, man, this Chiefs thing, We've been talking about it seemingly for the past 3-4 weeks, me and Gil, Ben. I'll get your thoughts. Chiefs, is this a sign of a master quarterback, a master coach, and a great team to be able to win these games this close so consistently, or is this bound to end and end horribly for them at some point?
Well, if you continue to back your own numbers and what you think ought to happen and just ignore the teams on the field, if you take the true what some people will tell you, I only bet numbers, not teams, then I would definitely say it is certainly a sign of things to come, and this cannot possibly continue. But we have been proven wrong so many times, and it is obvious that the Chiefs now are really in the same mold as what the Brady-esque Patriots were at the height of their dynasty, which was a team that might not have been all that impressive in the numbers, at least relative to the perception of how good they were. And yet, when Sharps continued to bet against them in big games, they would continue to win. And I we're in that territory with KC where, look, I'm not going to be betting on them when we're into the postseason. I don't know where you have them in your ratings, Kelly. Mm-hmm. Like I have them, I mean, they're definitely not, they're not the top two or three. I mean, that's for sure. And it's a team yet that is still going to be a team I'd be terrified of actually betting against when it comes to the postseason. There's just so much scar tissue from doing that from the past. And I definitely feel like that, whether it should or whether it shouldn't, is going to come into my mental handicap of this team come playoff time.
Yeah, I think that game last night was a good example of I think of what we've seen, and I don't really know why we'd expected it to change. I don't know about you, Ben. I'm going to guess you did some similar things to me, but I used the Chiefs in the contest. You're laying four, that loses. How did I bet them, though? I only bet them money line and kind of tied them in with some parlays and stuff. I don't know. There's just not many teams that they go up against that you feel comfortable laying more than a field goal with right now, because we keep seeing these end of game scenarios with this team. So I don't know. I don't know how I personally feel about how this is going to play out into the playoffs. I think it feels really stupid to go against Patrick Mahomes and say that he can't keep doing this stuff when he keeps doing this stuff time and time again. But man, it is, it's gotta be exhausting for some of the guys on that coaching staff to watch this play out this way every week.
It certainly would. I did not have a bet on the game last night, so I felt fortunate to just kind of sit watch there from the sidelines. And now you get this game in Cleveland where the numbers for me, I'd make the game Chiefs minus 6.5, you know, not feel great about it. I don't know what we've seen, Kelly, since last night, since we are just now having markets open up here, but it definitely feels like gambling if you are betting these Browns games at this point.
Oh, totally.
When it's the full Monty with Jameis Winston, and he had the two awful interceptions yesterday, a couple of great touchdown passes. The bad beat of the day, by the way, was Browns plus 3.5 first half with the Dustin Hopkins. You talk about Shank. The guy who had the old two-way miss going yesterday. Two more missed kicks for Dustin Hopkins. Not a great year for the AFC North field goal kickers with Evan McPherson, Evan McPherson in Cincinnati, and then the 36 made field goals now from Chris Boswell being the exception for Pittsburgh. But yeah, if you're taking, I'm sure a lot of folks will take points this week with Cleveland just on the basis of, all right, do we really trust Kansas City laying a big spread? And they're going on the road now to Cleveland, but I cannot get there, especially this early in the week. If it was 7, maybe, but would not have a ton of confidence, even if I was getting the full touchdown here.
Yeah, completely with you. I think the only side I could really look at right now is Cleveland catching the points at home. That's a big shift for Kansas City to go be laying all those points against on the road against Cleveland. Like I kind of hinted at, I'm not really getting into the business of laying big numbers of Kansas City anytime soon, near a touchdown on the road in Cleveland. Only side I could consider is Browns, but probably be a big old pass for me.
I'm seeing 5.5 pretty much everywhere. The look at it was 6. Circus still at 6. DraftKings, the one book at 6.5. I figure that'll kind of settle in the 6 range as we go throughout the week there. And then we'll squeeze one more in here, Kelly, with Cincinnati taking on Tennessee. I watched way more of that Tennessee-Jacksonville game than I definitely should have, which should have probably been like 30 seconds. But I went oppo with you. I had Jacksonville in the contest, and I was just going insane watching the second half there, where Doug Peterson settles for a field goal to go down 6-3 on 4th-and-4 at the 5-yard line. It's like, what are you doing? You're 2-10. You're going to kick there. I was all for it as someone who had Jaguars plus 3.5. The Titans continue this miserable season of games they were either very much live in, or at least felt like the de facto right side in from a spread perspective, end up losing the game, stuffed on 4th-and-goal at the 1-yard line after a 90-yard, 8-minute drive, 4th-and-3 incomplete at the Jacksonville 9 with 1:15 left. To only have 4.4 yards per play against the Jacksonville defense, dead last in pass D, unable to make any adjustments all year for that Ryan Nielsen unit. It was basically the Titans season in a nutshell, was it not? Now they host Cincinnati, who we're yet to see play, obviously, as they go tonight.
Yeah, this was a gross game yesterday. We were making fun of it last week. How much would you'd have to be paid to watch this game and this game alone on Sunday yesterday? And it sure felt like that 10-6 thriller there in Tennessee. I'm with you tonight. You look ahead, Bengals, Titans. We haven't seen what this Bengals team is going to look like. I do think this depends pretty heavily on what they do tonight, right? They win this game tonight, they're still technically alive in that AFC playoff picture. So nothing I would be doing with this game early before, before they go tonight.
5, 5.5. I make the game 6, at least just with my numbers coming into the week. But like we talked about in the Monday night game, would I feel comfortable laying margin with a Bengal defense that's just god awful? No, I definitely would not. See how that plays out tonight. On the other side, we'll switch it up. Goes to some college football reaction. Our pal Stormy Bonantoni joins us in studio right after this here on A Numbers Game.
A Numbers Game on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
This segment of A Numbers Game is brought to you by Zyn Nicotine Pouches. There's only one number one draft pick. There's only one champion at the end of the season. And there's only one nicotine pouch brand in America that outsells the rest, and that is Zyn. Zyn is a smoke-free, spit-free, hassle-free nicotine pouch that can be enjoyed anywhere, anytime. Find your Zyn at Zyn.com. That's Zyn.com. Warning, this product contains nicotine. Nicotine is an addictive chemical.
Those are the dulcet tones of Ryan Hunter welcoming us back here on A Numbers Game. And look who's here in studio.
Big
off
star.
Of just a wild, zany Sunday with the college football playoff being set. It's Stormy Bond and Tony, who's hanging out with forcing Kelly to move his double bunk bed setup over there, a la the Step Brothers.
I had so much room.
So much room for activities. Well, not anymore. Stormy is here, host of Money Moves coming up right after us and the Pro Football Tailgate Show, ESPN sideline reporter. Stormy, how was the Sunday for you, the first time with this college football, the 12-team playoff? Like, what was that experience like with all the weirdness and chaos surrounding it as you were on the air, as it played out?
Yeah, it was super fun to be on the air for it. I feel like typically we're in preview show mode, so we don't get a lot of live action. I always geek out when we have like the London games and we have live reacting to stuff, but obviously I'm such a college football person with what I do at ESPN, and it was super fun to see the unveiling as it came through, everybody sweating whether or not it's going to be SMU or Alabama in that moment. And I think that the committee did the right thing big picture for that decision and setting the right precedent that conference championships should not impact you negatively when, if you hadn't played this game, you would have solidly been in the field. So I like what they did with SMU. I think that Alabama fans need to relax a little bit, and all of the talk about from this university side about how this is disincentivizing them to schedule hard non-conference teams, yada, yada, yada. But you didn't schedule hard non-conference teams, and you lost to 2 6-6 teams in your own conference. So what are we talking about?
I want to ask you guys, I agree, and I think that that's something that's been an issue with Alabama and some of the SEC teams for far too long. We'll see if they start doing some different scheduling. I want to ask both of you guys, though, this. Hey, you hit on something there, Stormy, which I'm very interested in. Is this more about setting a precedent for years to come, and do we think they're actually going to stick to that, or throw out all the rules that we think we know 3 years from now, and this was more important to get right in year one?
Well, I think that regardless, we're going to have a lot of change that comes just beginning next year with what this looks like, because already you have so many people that are upset for different reasons, where it's the conference champions getting the automatic buys to start things off. And why do you have a team in Boise State and Arizona State that are getting first round buys instead of the best teams that are in the field? And no shade to Boise State and ASU, no shade to SMU getting into this thing, right? And I am somebody who is such a proponent for the little guy. SEC, Big Ten, you guys have had this for years. Let us have our moment, okay? But I do think, as far as year one goes, yes, this was really important. And you know that the selection committee in general, they want to make money. They want to keep having these conference championship games. They don't want anybody thinking about opting out or forfeiting those games because they think it's going to negatively impact them. So at least for now, it's very important. Ben, I don't know. What do you think?
Yeah, no, I definitely felt like, as far as, you know, precedent, it's always going to be goalposts seem to move because that's how it always is.
Sure.
And it's not like they were going to sit there and go, oh, this is how the seeding is going to be. And more than anything, if you talk about precedent, I mean, the disaster would have been, like, let's say SMU, they don't make a comeback, they get blown out. I mean, it would have been way worse. Like, if Alabama gets in, you know, this 9-3 team that gets blown out at a bad Oklahoma team and still makes the playoff anyway, and then you have the committee sitting there and going, well, yeah, I mean, SMU, you know, technically, because the argument before was like, well, let's maybe just say we all got COVID and not even play this game and just forfeit, because that would be better than potentially having to play. The can of worms that would have opened up would have been so negative and so detracting to the whole final stretch, the conference championship week, the whole into the playoff experience. Would have been really hard for them to kind of wrangle their way through that. I would think, guys, from the, you know, from the, you know, the public perception perspective, but they didn't do that, and they were fortunate, I would say, Stormy, because SMU makes this comeback and makes it close. But it's really just the seeding you have to get right. You can't just allow this team like a Texas, right, to luck box their way in, kind of back their way into the 5 seed. And as you've talked about already, as we've seen with the odds, you go from 4-1 and now your odds shorten. Your co-favorites plus 350. with a loss and you get fortunate in sliding to the 5 seed. They clearly didn't want to or plan for that to happen, but now you're going to sit there as double digit favorites your first 2 games, most likely.
Yeah, it's funny. And just one last thing on the SMU of it all is, how much as an Alabama fan were you just hoping, like, SMU, just do your job, right? just finish this thing.
Yes.
And then the whirlwind of emotions that you're probably having during that ACC championship game, you're like, okay, well, Clemson's going to blow them out now. So just make this a huge margin of victory, so it's no question SMU doesn't deserve to be in the field. Then they claw all the way back. You're like, okay, now just please win then. Just like come all the way back and finish the job. So just a crazy whirlwind of emotions there. But as far as the bracket lays out in general, there are a couple spots here that I think are really interesting, most notably that your top seed in Oregon actually has a pretty tough road compared to the team that lost to them in Penn State.
100%. And looking at some of these odds now, you know, the Texas Texas spread. It's just funny. You look now at Texas laying 11 against Clemson. Clemson was 0-3 against top S&P plus top 20 teams. And most of two of the 3 games were complete blowouts. So you understand power rating wise why Texas is so high. I wonder, Stormy, on the SMU front, where they were the team most, you know, most heavily talked about in the lead up, especially the past week here with the 12 team playoff being set. They go to Penn State, who have just been horrendous in these big game scenarios under James Franklin. Happens again in the Big Ten title game over Oregon. Could not get a stop for a team that prides itself on defense. Market has gone up here on the Nittany Lions. It's out to 8.5, opened 8 in most places, and now we're seeing even DK up to 9 here. I can't help but wonder if SMU is the team that a lot of folks come in on and just sort of auto fade simply because the resume was so much weaker as far as these Power Four teams compared to the rest of the teams in the field here. How do you feel about how they are actually going to look as that team that could have been the most disrespected team and left out, but maybe the market just continues to disrespect them even though they actually got in the end of the day?
I mean, keep letting it grow and then I'll come in on the other side maybe here with SMU, because I don't necessarily think that they're this easy out that everyone is assuming them to be, and that Penn State is this massive step up in class like maybe some of these other teams would be. I have been someone who's been saying for a while about Penn State's defense that is so highly touted and how amazing they are, that they're a little bit fake. And you look at the offenses that they've played throughout the course of the year, then when they finally do play a good offense, and let's say USC, for example, they gave up 30 points in that spot. And then against Oregon in the Big Ten championship game, they get exposed. And I'm not saying that SMU is Oregon offensively or that Kevin Jennings is Dylan Gabriel, but I don't think that it's just a game where Penn State's going to come in here and walk all over them either.
Sure. I completely understand. It leads me into thinking about these 4 spreads here. Stormy Bonantoni with us in studio talking college football playoff, the 12 teams that are out now, and the 4 games that we'll have December 20th and 21st, all line anywhere between 7.5 to 11. And I can't help but think, though, there's going to be so much underdog money coming in just in general with these kind of the sour disposition of where so many of these favorite teams are at, especially Penn State with what we saw last, Texas, Ohio State with what we saw last. And even Notre Dame, who was not all that tested down the home stretch of their season, the first team into that playoff of the 4 Stormy underdogs, which would surprise you the least were they to pull an outright upset?
That's a good question. Okay,
we'll borrow it from the Megapod, which you made your outstanding debut on a couple weeks ago. Which are the favorites most likely to lose outright? We'll just flip it around that way.
this is a tough question because I feel like these favorites are going to win. Like, just something in my soul and body and mind tells me that the favorites are going to win the games. Whether they cover the big spreads is another question. I'm kind of rooting. This is a terrible thing for me to say as somebody who grew up a Notre Dame fan. So God, Richard Bonantoni, forgive me for raising me the way you did. But I kind of want to root for Indiana here.
Wow.
I know it's terrible. But I mean, the big question for both of these teams throughout the course of the year is, you know, like, well, what have you done? You blew out all these teams, but who did you beat really?
Right.
And how good are you really? And I think that's going to be a fun test for both of these teams for us to see. And Notre Dame has had such an advantage of not having to play a conference championship game and being able to do what they do with their schedule as an independent. And I think that Indiana could be a fun team to root for in this spot. And they don't have to make a long road trip, you know, just go down the way.
That one's pretty quick. All right, fine. We got you for one more minute. This is pretty easy. Who's winning the whole thing? Now that we know who how the bracket's set up, the path these guys have to go, who's winning the whole thing, Stormy?
The teams that I think have the best position to do so are Oregon and Georgia. And it's such low-hanging fruit and it's so boring. But I've liked Oregon for weeks now. And as long as their defense doesn't play as bad as they did against Penn State, then I feel like they'll be in good shape. But I think Oregon is my pick to win it, and Georgia's my two. And the fact that they're the 1 and 2 seed just makes me want to throw up that I said that out loud. So I'm sorry, guys. I'm so sorry.
But what you say is so true. And at the end of the day, I mean, Georgia, the team they've had, the defense is so good. They just find ways to cover up for all the other work that they have on the squad there. Sorry about it, Tony. It is always a pleasure. We don't take this for granted, Stormy. We get to talk to you in studio. Thanks so much for hanging out with us, and we'll see you later today on Money Move.
Thanks, buddy. Appreciate you.
All right, we'll come back. Reset hour number 2 of a numbers game next. More NFL look ahead lines into week 15.